So with the inauguration around the corner, there's just about a week of employment for most appointed employees in the federal government. But a lot of them are learning that leaving the Trump presidency is not like leaving any other administration.
People were mentioning that, look, you know, in normal times, you know, if you're a EPA Director Wheeler or a Secretary Bernhardt, you know, they might just be able to go back to their old lobbying shops. But this was before basically an insurrectionist mob took to the Capitol building on the president's, you know, go ahead. And we have not seen, you know, strong condemnations of that from Wheeler or Bernhardt. Now there's a little bit more skepticism, or like, do you want to antagonize Western state Democrats, for example, by hiring Secretary Bernhardt? Taking away the
moments that make up a dull day. I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. Today, Politico's Ben LaFabe and Zach Coleman on the murky post-government future awaiting dozens of Trump's political appointees. It's Tuesday, January 12th. So I feel like we're finally seeing some initial accountability for the events of last week, and the fallout continues to roll in. You guys took a look at how the riots last week at the Capitol may affect employment opportunities for people within the Trump administration, and specifically with regards to energy companies. I think you did a pretty broad survey. What did you guys find?
Found that, at least in, you know, the people I talked to, last week's insurrection was basically the 50 kiloton bomb launched at the camel's back for a lot of these people. They may have been wary earlier about hiring Trump officials. And then there was also the fact that a lot of the people in the administration weren't exactly seen as like the best of the best when it comes to just, you know, professional experience. And then with this, then it becomes a huge, you know, it kind of really amps up the reputational factor.
You know, if you are coming from the White House, let's say, you might have a harder time justifying why you were still there when the president was, you know, fulminating and fumigating the whole area, you know, with his lies and falsehoods. But if you were at an agency, you know, maybe working on regulatory policy, there might still be some interest in your services if you really know the work. I think the big issue here is there are a lot of people in the industry who are skeptical that a lot of the Trump officials actually had the requisite experience to kind of leverage that into a better job offer after leaving public service, because a lot of these people came into government without a ton of experience.
It's something we've reported on, you know, throughout the duration of this administration, is the inability to fill posts throughout a lot of these agencies due to reputational concerns. Is this kind of a further outgrowth of that? They were probably not seen as the A-team to begin with, and now after last week's event, they have even more of a toxic sheen to them. Is that sort of the dynamic that you guys are describing?
Yeah, and it was basically started out as rest of the best, and now it's the rest of the rest who are still there. So a lot of these folks are just like, you know, the expertise wasn't there, and whereas we may have been able to work with this person in the past, now the reputational stink is just too high to, you know, even clip your nose against.
Does this carry up to the cabinet level? I mean, are we thinking that this is going to impact the prospects for future employment for people like Andrew Wheeler, David Bernhardt, and Dan Brouillette?
I think the simple fact is we don't really know on that. But, you know, there is this sense that if you were a high-ranking official or a cabinet official, a publicly traded company might not want to go down the road of hiring a Trump cabinet alumni.
I think the anecdote that you guys included from this lobbyist receiving a resume from an EPA staffer really does a lot to kind of sum up the whole dynamic here.
I asked what they were doing in government, didn't get a good answer. I asked what they wanted to do, and they said make six figures.
I wonder to what degree you guys think that part of the reluctance here may be the fact that people, even in lobby shops and in industry groups here in DC, have to fundamentally work with the government. And last week's events were about crippling a government.
I think it's a big, you know, reason. I mean, last week's issue, from what I understand, was like the final nail in the coffin, but that nail was, you know, in at least halfway deep already. The same source was telling me that, you know, this business usually works on, even if I don't agree with you personally, I can work with you professionally. And, you know, he went on to say, this administration has all been about everything is personal.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little more skeptical of these claims. Initially, Trump alumni will have some problems. I just think that this town will eventually, with time, look the other way.
On Monday, two of the EPA's top political appointees quit their positions in response to last week's storming of the Capitol. Yesterday, Brittany Pollan and Joseph Brzozowskis quit their positions as associate administrators on policy and congressional intergovernmental relations, respectively. Both now former officials have been serving the EPA for more than half of Trump's term. Their departures are the most significant ones to happen at the agency. Last week, Administrator Andrew Wheeler confirmed he'd stay on until Biden's inauguration. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find our show. Also, check out our other shows, Politico Dispatch, Nerdcast, and Global Translations. Thanks, and talk to you tomorrow.